We're doing church.
Two more gathered.
See, we pull from the same joke bag. It's like if we know each other. It's like it's our 5-year anniversary next month or something. We have like a child that's going to be a year old that didn't make it on this podcast. The first podcast.
Second one.
The first conversation that he's not present for.
Second one.
First one.
Welcome back to Free People, Free People. We're glad to be here, glad to be alive, glad to be healthy and having a conversation with you guys. Today, as you've probably seen by the title, we are talking about social media and self-esteem and all of those things. It has been a week like no other for our country, for this nation, for the globe, for the entire world has been affected by a pandemic, a crisis called COVID-19. So I think there's no better timing that we can discuss social media and the impact that it is having on what we're consuming. So that's pretty much what we're going to talk about today, right?
I felt like I was watching the BBC right now.
Really?
Yeah. You have a future in
thank you, my mom.
Commentating and broadcasting.
My mom spent her whole life watching CNN, asking me if I'd go study international relations so I can be a news anchor. That was like her thing.
I thought we were just at the Obnoxious T-shirt podcast. So yeah, there's a virus out there. Mm-hmm. So I hear. Thank God we're rock solid. Our child's rock solid. All of our close friends and family are pretty solid.
Yep.
We do have an acquaintance, a family that has contracted the virus. And it's sad to think of a married couple with children locked up dealing with this. But that's just the one that I know. There's so many that I don't know. So our hearts and prayers go out to everybody who's affected and whose maybe immune system is a little bit more vulnerable or prone to sickness. I could go on this in so many different directions. Scripturally, practically, I don't really know where we're gonna go with this. I don't really know where I'm gonna go with this. My wife's crafted some sort of situation here and she nudged me into this right now. I'm just kind of like along for the ride, but I'm never short a few words. So I think I'll make it.
I think we'll be fine. So I thought a good place to start would be to talk about
our new studio.
Our new studio.
We're now on Paramount off of Melrose. If you guys want to come on set live to our studio audience, let us know. We'll leave your name at security up front. And you know, we could probably save a seat for you. Calm down, I'm talking. We could probably save a seat for you guys.
I thought a good place to start was to talk about the COVID-19 update and how it's affected our city specifically, because people are going to be listening to this conversation from different parts of the world. We are in Los Angeles, in downtown LA. And our, I guess, scenario is going to look different from New York, from Miami, from South Africa, from Vietnam. I'm thinking of everywhere that I know people, right, that are currently right now in their own sense of isolation.
Yeah, I mean, we're quarantined in 6,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And building a van curbside that's about 80 square feet. Mm-hmm. So what's funny is we're looking to shake, like, 5,820 square feet, if you know any takers. business has been really slow when you have an art gallery and you run events for a living. Mm-hmm. And you help people with their creative direction, you can understand that there'd probably be a lull.
Yeah.
In our business. So that's been really interesting, but we've been able to keep ourselves busy. Mm-hmm. The city's fluctuated. I think towards the beginning of the week, it was a lot slower and I saw less people.
Mm-hmm.
I think now I'm seeing a little bit more movement, which kind of doesn't make sense because we're supposed to be having less movement.
Yeah. I think there's meant to be public workers working. So basically what our city lockdown is looking like is we're all self-quarantined. And initially it was a strong suggestion for government. And then it was implemented I guess it's a policy called stay at home. And basically what that means is that any non-essential business, you're meant to be at home. So essential business classifies as grocery stores, pharmacies, some construction workers, obviously medical workers, the essential things that keep the basics running.
That's where it gets kind of confusing when Los Angeles allows medical marijuana places to stay open And I know that's a bit of a hot topic, maybe for another time, but
yeah.
It's interesting when a state or a culture that would consider that essential
yeah.
is dealing through something that's actually pointing us towards all the essentials.
Yeah.
The weed shop.
The weed shop's open. Liquor is also seen as an essential.
Amazing.
So liquor stores.
You're drunk and high.
You're drunk and
it's all good.
Liquor stores are open. Pharmacies are open.
Rub some Jägermeister on your arms.
CBD.
And inhale. You can't inhale someone's breath because it might have corona, but you could inhale some weed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't prescribe either. It's not a solution for anything.
So that's what California is looking like right now. We've pretty much been indoors. Yes, it has affected our business. I think it's affected how do we plan for our future? What does business look like? Is there going to be a business going forward? Because essentially events or any company that requires people to gather in one place to function were the first to get hit. So, you know, event companies, catering companies, restaurants, those kind of things have been greatly affected, and we're having to look at other ways to figure out how we're going to move forward. Yes, I'm also a makeup artist. Yeah, we do freelance in other areas, marketing, graphics, all those kind of things. So we are very qualified to do other things, but we just have to be smart as to what we're doing going forward. I think the most interesting thing has been the way people have been interacting. When we just like look out the window and see people walk by, it seems like even though everyone's very good about keeping their distance, and this is something that we discussed in the Bible study yesterday, people are being very, very aware of each other. So you don't see people walking down the street on their phones for the first time ever. People aren't doing this. They're like looking around, they're looking at trees, they're looking at each other. There's more actually an acknowledgement of people than there was prior, I think, because of the world has been forced to slow down, to look up, to interact with.
I feel like I've seen more runners than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if everyone's trying to expedite their healthy state of being to power up for the virus, or it's just that all the gyms are closed. You know what's one thing that I have noticed that's really, really cool? I've seen an uptick of couples walking together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sad to say, almost as if the last walk, but it's kind of like romantic in a way. Mm-hmm. It has like a romantic kind of undertone to it. Masked or not masked, I've seen a lot of couples walking by, and I think it's beautiful, and families and stuff. I know we've taken our own little couple walks, not for a few days now, but just before.
I wrote down 10 points here, and I don't know that we'll get to all of them, but basically these are ways to limit or filter social media and what you're absorbing. With everything being shut down, you're going to be, you know,
inundated
with so much media, and you have to create a way or create a plan, a game plan of how you're going to
filter
and digest this information. I think prior to this lockdown, we were just in a state that we were just constantly consuming and maybe not as aware, but now when we're not in an office or not, you know, doing the jobs that we're used to, and we have more screen time, essentially, there are so many ways that we have to decide what we're letting into our space and what we're going to keep as truth. So the first thing that I wrote down was screen time. This is something that you can, if you have an iPhone specifically, this is something that you can just change in your settings.
It's hilarious when you see how long you've been on apps or websites or text messages or whatever. It's amazing.
Exactly. And you can just change your settings to and challenge yourself. Maybe I think the first thing to do is to observe how much time you're spending on consuming things, and then you can limit your screen time. So if you allow yourself a 1 hour max, 2 hour max, 3 hour max, you might hit that in the first hour of the day, or you might surprise yourself and get through the day and that hits your capacity. But screen time is a really good way to be able to limit what you're consuming.
Think how nutty it is, that statement right now, thinking about 3 hours on your phone. If you're not a social media influencer, you just basically spent a part-time job with your face on your phone.
And it's so easy. It's very, very easy to do that. It really is.
I wouldn't know.
I'm going to turn your screen time on. Okay, so my next point is to watch your sources and to cross-reference. We consume our news, well, multiple ways, but the main way recently has been Apple News. I made a mistake of just like getting a lot of my news down Twitter feeds, which is just this very toxic, you end up going in multiple threads and reading a lot more opinion than actual facts. And then even with the news outlets in the US specifically, there's this whole thing about fake news or media outlets being biased because they're affiliated to one political party versus the next. So really cross-referencing what your sources are. I think on Apple News, I probably look at like Politico, Washington Post, New York Times, and then CNN here and there. And whatever is factual or the consistent narrative or consistent fact across those platforms is what I'm like, okay, so this is clearly like what is going on in the country, as opposed to opinion pieces. I think a great thing for families, if you have maybe children that are old enough to understand news outlets, maybe you as the parent are going to filter what news you're going to tell your kids and then be able to digest it that way so you can protect your household or maybe your grandparents, whatever it is.
I personally get my news from the YouVersion Bible app. It's collected all the good news in multiple versions, and I feel like it's the most trustful resource. I seem to limit all intake from other news channels. And I think it's kind of contributed to my remarkable state of peace that I'm feeling during this entire crisis. I don't think preparation for the crisis happened when the crisis hit. It's too late, guys. Mm-hmm. You need to constantly be taking care of your mind, body, and soul. Yeah. I am 50 years old, I'm proud to say, and 50-year-olds in my family or generation kind of line don't look like this. Not that I look that sharp, but I'm doing okay for 50. And mentally, physically, I take care of that stuff. I take care of what I eat. I watch what I ingest mentally and where I spend my time and what I read. And I think we can't put anything out that we don't have inside. Yeah. We need to collect it first before we can give it away. Yeah. I think that's a really troublesome thing. Subconsciously, we keep collecting things, and then unknowingly, it's affecting what we're outputting. And I've made a conscious effort over the years to continue to maintain a very strict diet of mind, body, and soul, mm-hmm. to where I'm not perfect, so far from, and I'm not even where I'd like to be, but I do like to keep an eye on it and constantly poke and prod myself back closer to the place or the direction that I need to be going. So possibly you're ready for coronavirus 2021 if you start now, but it's never too late. I'd say definitely start curating a lot of what my wife's saying, your news, mm-hmm. But just your health and your acquaintances. And I think the biggest tragedy of coronavirus, COVID-19 or whatever, if when we get on the other side of it, we're unchanged. We need to have a greater appreciation for what not only they're deeming as essentials, mm-hmm. but what God has given us that is undoubtedly the essentials. Mm-hmm. Our relationships, our family, yeah. our health, our conscious for other people.
Okay, so my next point is to look for the good and watch for the helpers. So when you see news and you see these bad things happening to people or a lot of negative news, there's always somebody helping in the background. So if there's a car accident, there's always an ER person, there's always a fireman, there's always somebody carrying. There's always people crowding around to assist. I think we have to constantly look for the good and feed ourselves good news. And I know you're referencing good news as the scriptures, but where is the good that you can recognize in every day? Because even within the stories that we're consuming, there's really positive ones of communities coming together. This is the first time in history that the entire world has essentially rallied together to help those in need globally, because this is a global crisis.
This has been the least amount of racism talk that I've seen in months.
You see, because there is no, this virus, it has no prejudice. It'll affect anybody. So we're all equal in this. It is lowered any kind of social status, economic status that people have had, because think about, for example, in the Middle East, where women were silenced prior, those are women that are actually having to get up now and help communities, you know? So I think if you were ever discarded or marginalized prior to this, it's irrelevant. Like, this is a time where we can come together and produce good. And people, like you said something really good about the people that we looked down, the people that we looked down on or were never really celebrated as something to aspire to,
and are
the heroes of society right now.
Well, I think crisis has its beauty. And I think we notice that what our commonalities are highlighted and not our differences. And I think because we all share, if we want to be honest, the same needs first, after they're personalized by wants, but our needs are the same. And that's a dangerous thing. Oftentimes, especially with the influx of social media or just content in general, we confuse wants with needs. And the virus is highlighting the needs of health, the needs of community. Mm-hmm. We often refer to our conversation here as you don't have to be in the building to be in the house. And it's because we have a constant conscious of building community,
yeah,
and the priorities that it's important for us to gather. It's like you can quarantine people, but you can't stop the connection. And we are going to connect spiritually and mentally, even if it's digitally, if we can't meet in person or not. It's a sad thing, but we have to train ourselves to find the message in the mess, the beauty in the madness. Like, you have to look for the stuff that's going to help carry you through, but then also the stuff that was revealed to you that you have to now realize and take with you going forward.
Now that we have figured out how we're consuming our news, we also have to be in a space where we're renewing our minds and really feeding goodness for us. It's the scriptures that are going to dictate essentially how we're going to react to what it is that we're absorbing. So Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And what I love about this verse is the second part where it says, okay, so once we've renewed our minds, then we have the ability, the clarity, the wisdom to be able to test up. We can take what we have in our hands and we can offer that up and test that to see if that is what God's will is for our life. So, although the news might be saying that millions of people are going to be affected by this virus, or the economy is going to crash, or that you, if you leave your house, you may get that, that may not be God's will for your life. It may not be God's will that your business is going to fail in this season. What you're seeing in the news is the world's report of what is happening in the world. But if we are followers of Jesus that are listening to this, and we are people that are connected to the will of God, he is working on an eternal metric. He is working on a different plan. So,
and the beautiful thing is, if you're not, he still is.
Yeah.
He's still working for you. It's okay. You'll find out later.
If we're followers of Jesus, then we have the understanding that Jesus paid the price already. So we shouldn't have fear in the circumstance. And those... If you're from the perspective of not being a follower of Jesus, one day you're going to be able to look back and see the fingerprints of what God did through your life to bring you to where you are. And that just goes to show that no matter what side you are of the table, of the line, God is always working for you. And he's always working for the good of your life. And that you have a plan, and that you have a purpose, and that you have a future. And it's nothing that this world says that you are.
Well, I think if you're going to pull out a scripture, then I'm going to pull out a scripture too. But since my Bible is actually filming us, I'm going to grab my other Bible.
Okay.
My other Bible says, in Psalms 139:14 through 16, in the Message version, I like this paraphrase here. It's not a paraphrase. I like this version.
Translation.
I like this translation. Thank you, babe. "Oh yes, you shape me first inside then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life are prepared before I even lived one day. Think of what a deep relationship before conception. Ah, I chills that you could have a relationship with somebody before anybody could even think. So before you and I even met, before you were like, man, look at that ravishing piece of dude right there. Woo, if I could only have his child, how beautiful would he be? God already had all that planned already. He knew exactly how perfect Lion was going to be. You believe that? What an amazing God we serve. Good looking out, God. Thank you. I think this is so beautiful that you have been specifically crafted and wonderfully made with an assignment to carry out on your life. And no matter how much we rebel from that and we find ourselves struggling doing other things or learning, if we're smart enough to notice, we're learning doing other things, we're going to start to notice that something becomes a little bit easier. We're going to notice that something leaves you a little jazzed and a little energized after you do it, unlike maybe a toxic job that makes you feel like death or makes you feel sick when you wake up to go to it. And I think those are God's subtle hints and nuances to try and get you back to your purpose and your calling and what you've been crafted to do in this life. Unfortunately, the overabundance of media that's available nowadays is kind of distracting, and we probably spend more time looking left and right than actually looking inside ourselves to see what we're supposed to be doing. And something that I've heard is comparison is the thief of joy. And I've also heard that two of the most important moments in your life is when you're born and when you find out why you were born. And both of those things are so critical to this. Do not feel you need what somebody else has. Feel you need to do what's burning inside of you. But don't let what's burning inside of you be dictated by somebody else's gifting. Because oftentimes that's going to be very distracting. I love what so many people do. In fact, some of my most favorite people in this world I've been able to meet, and then I kind of didn't like them that much anymore. And then after, I was going, oh man, that kind of makes me feel like I don't really like what they're about as much anymore. So sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for too, because a blessing too soon or at the wrong time might not be a blessing at all. I've strived my whole life to achieve all these artistic and creative goals, and I feel to an extent I could honestly say I hit every goal that I've strived for. To an extent. Not exactly how I visualized it, but most likely exactly how God planned it. And now I find myself in our space, creating spaces for other people. And I think one of the things that brought me the most peace when I got into a relationship with Jesus is, I'm not sure what part of the world you live in, but you probably have a big power source, power company in Los Angeles. It's LADWP. Mm-hmm. In New York, it's Con Edison. So I used to think I had to be the big power plant or the sun, the one thing that provides all the energy that everybody's looking at. And then I noticed, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be the power plant. Maybe I'm just supposed to be a lamp. I could still stand on the shelf real shiny, bring all this light. Everyone can still appreciate the lamp. But then I thought to myself, well, maybe I don't need to actually be the lamp. Maybe I could just be the light bulb. I'm on the inside, but I'm still helping provide the light that's helping shed light for other people. And then I had to kind of also consider, well, maybe I'm just the extension cord that's actually connecting the power to the light. And wherever you find yourself, your space that's creating the most life, not just for yourself, but for other people, that's probably a place where God needs you to be. Because when you're in God's plan, it's not just for you, it's for other people. So whether if you're an extension cord, a lamp, a light bulb, or the actual power source of the whole thing, enjoy your space, take great inventory of it, enjoy God's grace in it, because you have to see God's grace in it to know it's from Him, and then you're going to see the biggest results from it, because it's not only going to help you, it's going to help other people.
I think that's so good. What I love what you said about God's grace isn't only for you, it's for other people. And one of the biggest inspirations of starting this Free People conversation is that this is not just for us. These are conversations that we have in our home every day, but we wanted to open what we feel is the wisdom that we've been given from God to share with other people, and hopefully those are shared with their people, and we can begin to use our words to heal and to bring insight and to bring inspiration.
And also, I want to state that we're doing this not because we want to talk to ourselves on tape, but because we want to talk with you.
Yeah.
And if we don't put it on tape, we don't have a place to collect information and learn from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not going to have the ability to have a conversation with you unless we open up channels or until we meet each other.
Yeah.
And the way we can meet you first before we meet you in person is by putting ourselves out there. Maybe sharing something that's a point of interest to you or something that you might find helpful.
Mm-hmm.
These might not be answers, but there are responses to what's worked for us. And sometimes they may create answers for you guys.
Yeah. So a great thing that we're doing now, and what I do love about what COVID-19 has brought to perspective of how we share our life, essentially, is that everybody's forced to go online. The beautiful thing about that is more people can access the conversations that you're being a part of, or the rooms that you were in previously, because we're all in our own homes creating community in a new way. So for the people that have not been able to come to our a social night that we do on a Friday night, we are doing an online conversation. We'll leave the information on our Instagram and you can DM us for the link and be a part of that. So until this lockdown ends, every week we're going to be still having our regular meetings. It's just going to look a little different. So if you're not in LA and you want to be part of that conversation, please message us and we'll make sure that you are part of it.
Yeah, you can quarantine us physically, but you can't quarantine our community. That's part of all of us coming together, because each one of us bring our little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And although we came with less, we're always going to leave with more as long as we're open. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I'm not always going to be right, but I am always going to be honest.
Yeah.
And I am always going to be truthful to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. So until next time, which would be tonight at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Our upload schedule is every Wednesday we were uploading a video, and then we were gathering physically here at our Art Space Allies Worldwide here in downtown LA, 1054 South Olive Street, on Friday nights physically. And we were merging our digital community with our physical community, which is really exciting to see that something as ancient as a virus has catalyzed and pushed everybody into the future. And I think there's a little irony there, because sometimes people look at this book as this ancient thing. What good is it, right? But yet all these principles here is exactly what's catalyzing us and protecting us moving forward into the future. So she said it best, we're probably just gonna see ourselves online for a little bit, but I am praying and hoping and pleading and knowing that we're gonna see ourselves sooner than later. And until next time,
free people, free people.
Okay, Lion just wanted to say hi.
Say hi, babe. Bye. Hi. Over there. You're over there. The people over there. Say hi. Say bye-bye.